recording. You'll see if it went wrong. So the point is here, you know, as it could be the Gemara's lav dafka.
It's like, isn't that so, it just seems to be writing this Gemara in such utter ignorance of the Gemara right before it.
No, why not?
It's like, so... We've spent weeks on this just before.
No,
but
that's...
Now, settling around the next page, and we've totally forgotten everything we did.
I really don't think it's been written in the previous parliament.
Yeah, okay, so what do you want to say?
I think it's making the case that... I think it could be disagreeing with the previous Mara's assumption that, like, and that now, like, it would sort of be like... Achila... Sorry, not... Sima biped, sora achila.
But now that he does Hanbaa, then he's going to be higher before.
No, he's not.
But he wouldn't be high
when
he does the
Hanbaa. He's high when he does the Hanbaa. But he could get around that by just like picking up in his mouth. Meaning that if the kinyan took place when he put it in his mouth, followed by a subsequent swallowing, then that would have been considered...
I know. I understood your question.
So I'm saying,
but how does that fit with the last sugya? It doesn't.
I'm saying, either that or you can say that this is being cholik on the previous.
Well, if it doesn't fit, then it's cholik. I agree.
Not out of ignorance.
Okay, that's... I'm not answering the question of whether they knew or didn't know.
Answer the question?
So...
What?
Did you just answer your question?
No.
You just said that this would be a case. Gachin Malach would be a case of Gachin Sorech Achila.
I'm making the argument that
therefore
that,
you'd be butter.
That despite the fact that it's not part of the that despite the fact that Sima Pen is not part of the
Where does the Gemara say that that's not true?
It's not part of the halachic definition of Achilas Chelev. That nonetheless the Gemara says that that Kimle would apply anyway to Sima Pen.
Why?
So I want to make the argument that it just would be impossible to do it any other way, and that
excellent
pet is not considered a possibility.
But that is Ritzba-like, by the way. It is disregarding the previous sugya. It's saying, you know, as right now we're saying
disregarding or continuing the conversation.
I don't know. There's no way to tell. Arguing on, rejecting.
Yeah.
I agree. In other words, I'll agree to that. Here's the interesting question. I know this is a nutty question, but supposing someone, you know, performed a surgery
and
inserted it into the throat, and now you swallowed it, what would it then do?
Like doctors are having fun with that out there. Let's see how many questions.
But put it into your garon. Not into your mayayim, into your garon.
Into your throat,
and yes.
Even going through your mouth, that's
right.
Probably not a chila.
Surgical.
I would be willing to say if that was ever like a shila.
Why? How do you know that? I know the Chazal didn't deal with it. How do you know?
Because if you were to describe eating, that wouldn't.
That's just because the Metzias it wasn't an option.
No,
for them.
No,
you still have an.
It's not grano. Eating. It's
you have an asgron or you have an asmeyaf.
That's how you define eating.
Isn't that almost all the points of our Ian that we always do? It's sometimes very difficult to find this case, but it actually really never exists. The whole point of looking at the essence of the matter. That's basically the idea, yes. That's the definition.
No, I'll argue that's not
so, okay, so I'm going to pull the Bakias out here on you. Okay, a Gemara in the second paragraph of Psachim that says, by most Yisurim, with the exception of, I think, Basar B'chalav, and Kilaya Kerem, where it doesn't say Lashon Achila, I think it says too, you're only chayev if you eat them kiderech hana'asan, in the normal fashion. In other words, if you take chaylev and you melt it, and you swallow it like that, I think they say, you're pater. It's shelo kiderech achilasa. It's shelo kiderech achilasa. It has to be kiderech achilasa. So, derech achilasa in those cases actually refers to the way you prepare the substance. But one could suggest that maybe derech achilasa also means Hanas Piv. Right? So one could suggest that my scenario would be Pater. You intuitively said it. That's what Danny also wants to say, right? In other words, and if that's true, then Achila really is. Achila B'Peh is really considered Tzorech you know, Isuro, except for what would the din be if someone sticks it straight
between Truma and Chela?
No, both of them should be the same. Oh, you're suggesting that as possible? No, because the Gemara and the previous sugya tied the two together.
Yeah. I mean, much the same.
Right, so you can't really.
Although, they also disconnected them as well, but yeah.
That's a methodologically, you did the right thing, but I think we can eliminate that.
Okay.
Much
the same, I suppose, as like, it's conceivable to have a Hanaho with that.
It's conceivable what?
It's conceivable to have a right when the Gemara says Yeshar Hanachlo Akira. I'm sure, like, you know, if I thought hard enough about it, I could, you know, conceive of like either a halachic or real world mitzvah where that's not necessarily the case, and I could like drop something without having, you know, having done a halachic or actual akira.
Halachic one, it's true. Someone else could have done it, not you. I don't think it's physically possible, but I don't.
Say drop my shoe.
You put your shoe on at some point.
No, but exactly. So the
that was the akira.
But
you drop it. That's the hanacha.
Precisely, but I can transport something at having picked it up without it having counted as an akira, without it having been considered a halachic akira, and deposit it somewhere.
Agreed, but that's the Gemara's whole point. When the Gemara says yefshal lanacha below akira, it means that it means not that you can't have one. It means that it's irrelevant for our purposes. You wouldn't be mischayev in afsha. That's all. So I think Schleien's point is a good point. And I know if any Tosas certainly didn't say anything about it.
Tosas definitely doesn't mention.
The iboy gochen va'achel. What do you do with the previous sugya? What? Really? Where does he?
He doesn't ask the question, but his answer deals with it.
Does it? Well, how do you see his answer dealing with it?
Because he makes the ukimta the same of the last gemara.
No, but he doesn't. No, I know Tosas says that. I mentioned that.
One second.
Where is the Tosas?
The very last line, he says,
to have a matzi, that doesn't answer the question. He could have said that.
Okay, that's because his ukim is the same thing. He says it's on a kana, and he puts his sticks all the way back in his throat. It's the same. Okay, he's
no, but it has to, that's
security.
His definition of gachin ma'achil, he's saying by that last line, he's saying, he might as well have said that it's tachal luchaber. Because it is a case where you stick it all the way back in your throat. and it is ignoring.
No, but it doesn't work. Tell you why it doesn't work.
Is it an answer to that question?
The reason why, thinking back to the Tosafim on the previous Amud, when you put it in the mouth, right? Maybe it does. Okay, maybe it does. Maybe that's he's trying to answer the question.
Well,
doesn't sound like that.
He hasn't asked that question. That's true.
One second. Hold on. Okay, you might be right for Tosus, but it doesn't work for Rashi. And Iboy Gachen Ba'achil doesn't sound like Tosus describes. Right?
But okay. You understand where he's coming from.
Correct. Although it's... right, I think you're correct about that. So, the question is, does this part of the sugya think that Achila is essential for... that going in derech, you know, that putting it in his mouth is a requirement in order to constitute achila, even though you're only mischayev at the end, and therefore we can say that achila is tzorach b'liya, but you can't say hagba is tzorach b'liya, right? Or hanacha b'peh is tzorach achila, but hagba is not tzorach achila. Okay, so now then that's a very good observation, and it may be that the sugi is already working with that, with the impossibility of doing it without it, and I would suggest it's impossible because otherwise it's not called our achila, therefore it's part of it. Hila?
Mark begins with kufa. Is it more likely to ignore previous assumptions?
No.
This is just like ignoring everything else and just analyzing this text alone.
It seems strange. It is very odd. Yeah.
So you see the problem though, that even though like if it's at a moment before, it's a moment before the actual halachic chiyuv of a halachasur said it.
No, I understand that your kasha. Your kasha, I like the teretz too, but it's still against the previous Gemara. We've explained what the sod, why the Gemara disagrees. Why after all that tzara that they had of trying to figure it out, the Gemara in the end says, eh, nah. See, here's what you could say. Now you want to know why, well, what's that?
It still though means on practicality, now it's on halacha.
Can you say this is...
No. I'm arguing mitzad halacha that if you don't doesn't go in derech peh, you're not chayef.
In
derech achilasa b'kach.
The way the Ramban formulated the later problem, and the way the Tosfos formulates it later, it's that it has to be that achilah is an integral part of the malacha putzah.
And I'm telling you that sima b'piv might be an integral part of the isra achilah. If you don't put it in through your mouth.
Is it an integral part of the same way that Akira is an integral
yes.
part of
Yes. If you did a Hanacha without a Akira, it's not a Malacha. If you did a Blia without an Achila, without putting it in your mouth...
That's not why... If the Gemara in Shabbos does seem to imply that, like, that it's only Hanacha, that Akira is only necessary because you need Hanacha, it's that Akira and Hanacha are both...
No, but neither one alone. The whole point is that you're not Chayav on a Hanacha unless you did an Akira.
Yeah.
By the same token, you're not... one would even argue, by the way, the pashtra says there's no issur in the akira. The issur is in the hanacha, but hanacha without an akira is not called a hanacha. Therefore, by the same token, it's not considered a violation of achalas asuras unless it was in your mouth. So that is part of the issur. It's a prerequisite for the issur.
Prerequisite, not something's part. And I argue that that's the distinction. The difference is very present, namely kimlai.
I don't understand why you think that if the achila, if putting it in the mouth is a requirement, and it's always the first step right before the blia, and you need that to be chayev, why is that different than akira, which is the step that you need before? Just as if you did an akira and you stopped, you violate no malacha. So too, if you put the machalas asuras in your mouth and then you spit it out, you don't violate an achila. But if you swallow it and if you let the object come to rest, then you violate the isser, whichever it is.
I'm assuming this based on like the first paragraph of Shabbos. I'm assuming this based on like
assuming what?
Assuming that Akira is more part of the prerequisite.
Don't we assume that if you just said Akira, such as the case of the two guys, that it's an Issur D'Rabbanan?
Yes.
You do with Zach. So you had said a second ago when you were responding to Shlian.
No, but the Akira
there
is.
Not be any Issur on Akira.
Well, if all you do is the Akira and then you don't. Move it. In other words, when I start, if I decide I'm going to take this out, I pick it up. There's no issur violated yet at all.
What if you pick it up
and then I decide
over the boundary, assuming Zach's going to take
it? Not clear. Not clear. It's not clear. The Gemara talks about the cases being usur, but it's not clear if that's only after it's been done.
Yeah, that's a good case.
What's that?
Yeah.
So in other words, it's not clear. It's not clear that any issur has been violated until you do the hanacha. Then my akira is an akira, and I did akira the hanacha. It's not clear that my doing the akira alone constitutes an issur.
Okay, let's say I put the chela into my mouth with the intention of spitting it out, and then I change my mind once it's in my mouth.
Yeah. So no. So then that all that means. I see what you want to tie into that.
I think that you'd be chayav anyway. I think you'd
correct.
Be fully. Whereas if you do the akira without, right, if you do the akira with the intention of moving it, it's obvious, and then you carry it outside, you're punter.
The problem is that's not called an akira. That's why.
Okay, but why?
The akira requires kavana, whereas by chayav,
why would an akira require kavana if it were only a prerequisite?
What's that?
Why would an akira require
malachas mashavet?
No, but that's the requirement of malachas mashavet as opposed to chela, which requires no mashavet violation.
Okay, but if we're only a prerequisite for a
malacha, yeah, that's not the same thing.
If we're only a prerequisite for a malacha, then I wouldn't require malachas mashavet.
No one thinks you need kavanah for a hechsher mitzvah.
No, I'm going to come talk about that particular issue.
Not the beginning of your prerequisite for the malacha.
So I'm not gonna.
Let's say I pick up. If I want to do the law of.
I understand what you're saying.
Where I pick up my inscribing implement, right? That doesn't have to be with the dots of writing, but I can write if I don't.
So you have a kasha. I'm going to say your logic is against the Gemara.
We're trying to, what is the logic of the Gemara?
No, so I would tell you that the Gemara doesn't, in other words, I would say.
I just think that, like, that in this, that up until now, the Gemara is discussing.
In other words, who says that the achila is not part of the, who says that putting it in the mouth is not part of the eating it? Not just a prerequisite.
So you think that if I put it in my mouth, not with the das and spitting it out right afterwards, and then I wound up swallowing it, that I'd be pater?
No, that's not an issue.
Wow. Okay, but because that's not
a separate issue. But I would say that, in other words,
it's also a Shabbos, right?
That's a very good point.
That's only a Shabbos then.
That works for Gemara.
It's only a Shabbos then. It's also intended for other chatzos as well.
That's complicated here. Hold on, before you go, then let's just sketch this out again. If you have, I would say that because achila is a requirement for kosima bepeh to be chayav on achila, I would say that when you actually do swallow the thing. That's the implication of the Gemara. The Isser began when it was in your mouth, and it was completed when you swallowed it, when it got to your stomach.
Okay. So now
by the same token, that the Malacha began when you did the Akira, and the Malacha was completed when you did the Hanach.
So now let's have a test case. So let's say I put the.
Before you go, what do you want to say?
No, I think you're really right, and I think that works well. I still worked a bit with the Gemara before, but the idea could be that the Chalos Chia could be one thing, and we can say that the Maisa begins when you put it in your mouth, but you're the close to the Talmud is at one point, and the close chayav is going to be when you swallow.
Right, and you would say that the action, the chalos chayav is obviously only when it's completed successfully, but the shasa iser begins when you start doing things that are necessary to violate, that the iser would not be an iser without.
Something like that.
Okay, so now go ahead.
So the test case would be, I'm almost positive the din is for any karban chatas, that you only have your chayav for any karban chatas is if you also have sofa.
Okay, so I have a question for you. How many, outside of our two cases, how many cases do you have that?
I mean, outside. I've seen it.
I would be very surprised. I bet you it's only in the Mishnah and Shabbos. What?
Where are the cases we bring for Arayos?
Arayos.
Okay.
It won't work with Arayos. Arayos, it won't work by Arayos, because Arayos is quantum. Right, there's a point up until which you violate nothing, and then there's that line that you cross that is, it's now benabia.
Right.
Hachnasa
satara.
Right. So you're either in or you're out.
But the point I'm really trying to make is that it's the same as that it's really quantum. Before you swallowed it, then before you swallowed it, you're not high of anything, and after you swallowed it.
Well, that's the same truth in Akira and Hanacha. The Hanacha happens, you're not Chayav. There's always a point of Chiyav, but there's not a process that you can talk about.
So it would be the same thing with Bia also, I guess. Right? You, like, begin the process of Bia. Is the beginning of the process, let's say I violate, like, let's say I rip something while I'm in the process of Bia. I don't know.
Arrive?
Like, without which Bia would be, the physical act of Bia would be impossible. Right.
Of course you can come up with that case.
Exactly.
Come up with the case. Oh, you can't come up with the case. Okay.
I'm not talking about energy, but like, while performing an action with which the act, without which...
No, you don't understand what I was saying. Theoretically, if the kara shirayim, if the shirayim were placed at the entrance to the, now that you would break that with your penetration, so that would be your case. So let's take your case.
About whether you're going to be a Rishon on Friday night.
What's that?
It's so different than the Gemara about whether you're going to be Rishon on Friday.
Yeah, but there's all
the
discussion.
No, because that's not... The Shah doesn't matter. It's simultaneity is not crucial there.
That's true, but
The discussion is simply whether that constitutes a malach.
I'm aware, but that's not...
Yeah.
Right. Also, it's
simultaneous. Yeah, it's relevant.
It's not necessary.
No, if that would be simultaneous, then that would be relevant. But it's not
right. It's not... There's no need for simultaneity there.
Right, so... So before penetration, there's a shirayim set up at the right at the entrance, and by
machnas the atara, you will break the shirayim. Okay, yeah.
Okay. So
okay.
That without being machnas the atara, bia would be impossible.
No, being machnas the atara is bia.
Okay.
That's the definition of
being.
Without
the penetration being a millimeter away, the penetration would be impossible. Also, we're talking about practical considerations.
I think maybe this discussion should just stay off the table.
Yeah. What is the case in your absence, the usher act could not take place?
You know, what you were looking for is a case where there's a process of time. There's a beginning and an end to the malacha, which aren't one and the same. Akir and hanacha, we understand that, right? Achilas chelev, we understand that. If putting in your mouth is a requirement to be chayav on the bliya, so there's a time when it goes into your mouth and then you eat it. But when you take the case of bia, I stop at any given point, and there are only either I have done nothing, and what have I done until now is not halachically required.
So, gachin ba'achil, as soon as I put it in my mouth, I can spit it back out.
No one said that you can't stop the process. We agree, but the point is that we don't, when we talk about, I would say like this, let's say a person is sleeping. He's totally nanas. Right? And you set him up exactly in that situation, right? Where now he has, don't ask how it happens, but he's now has achnasas hatara short a millimeter, right?
Yes.
Now, if he goes in now, you put him, and now he wakes up, okay, and there's no patur of misasek, and now at this point he completes the action, right? The fact that everything until now is putter is totally irrelevant. Why? Because until now nothing has happened at all.
So are you claiming that if you were nanas and having a food put into your mouth, that you're putter?
Right. So that the question he's asking is a fair question, which is achila really a prerequisite as opposed to part of the process?
No, I'm asking. Here it sounds like part of the process a lot more than putting in your mouth.
Have it in your mouth, correct.
That sounds more like the hacker, like, it can't be a chila if it wasn't in your mouth.
Right.
Or it sounds like here is part of the
what
mouth.
Happens if like someone else puts it in your mouth. That would have been better.
No, that's still not it, but.
Are we sure that Gachin Ba'achil, that Mara is saying, is a case of where you're putter? Does Rashi say that, or does Mara say that?
Yeah, I think so. You think that even Gachin, you want to answer his original question.
I want to say that Rashi is trying to explain that the fact that we're dealing with a case where you did Hagbah. Why isn't that Tzorech Achila? Because you don't need Hagbah. Why don't you need Hagbah? There's a case where you can do Gachin Ba'achil. Is that Patur? No, but you don't need Hagbah now that you've done Hagbah.
Okay, but why? But then, based upon the Svara, it's efshar. In other words, without putting into your, it still comes back to the same question. If the whole point is that you didn't need to do hagbah, well, you also don't. Why do they say by
the question over to this?
Correct. You should move the line.
That's going to be the same question.
We're asking about the statement of Rav Chisda and the statement of Rav.
You want to resolve by saying that Ichanami by Gachin Ba'achil would also be chayim until tachav lo chaveros topiv. Right,
what?
In the case of Matthias. I understand what you're saying. It's very strange. It's still strange that Mara...
Is Rav Chisda's statement disagreeing with Rabbi Avin's statement? And Rashi's saying, no, it's not.
I hear...
trying to answer your question.
I know. His question. But you're right. It's a good question. I like the question. So I think that's really pushing it. In other words, the whole point is that you're showing where you would have crossed the line. You could have done it that way, and then your tiny would be right. But when you do it this way, your tiny is not right. And therefore, the whole point is that by Hagbah...
The Rashi doesn't even say that. It's just saying, and Rashi doesn't even say that either. It's just saying, this you don't have bar here. Therefore, you're chayv at the time. You're chayv for the, at the time of hagba.
Right.
Why? Because you don't need hagba. I know. But and the Gemara clearly the half meaning of the Gemara, which is kind of weird, is what yo you must need hagba. And the answer is no, you don't need hagba. You can do gachan alacha. Hagba is not a necessary component of this issue.
Except for the problem is, what is the significance of hagba? You're being a literalist, but what does hagba accomplish? What does hagba really mean? No, forget that. What does hagba mean in this Gemara? I don't mean physically.
I think it means literally picking up.
Listen to what Shua said.
Kinyan.
That's what Tosu says. I mean, Rashi says it's literally picking it up.
But why? Because it makes a kinyan.
No.
Worried about the kinyan.
Everyone agrees that Hagba is the kinyan, and Hagba is not necessary. That you turn around, and what's the raya Hagba? What it really means is you could have been gachen va'achil, and what? And made the kinyan that way? So then really the kinyan is necessary. I can't see distinguishing between the two.
Absolutely, the kinyan is necessary. You have to say kinyan.
No, but the kinyan was still in order to violate, in order, in other words, the kinyan would still have been necessary before you can actually eat it. And therefore,
well,
why not say, what's that?
That's coming at the same time.
Okay, I agree, but
that's
for Rashi. But for, so Tosa solved the problem. Right. You don't need it, but for Rashi, it's not a solution.
Whoa, unless,
yeah.
There is one assumption of what you said, which is that, if you would make the kinyan by swallowing, by putting it in your mouth without picking it up, then you would really be then it would really be a case of kinlay if you just picked it up anyway. Unless that's really not what Mar is trying to say.
Well, I'm suggesting that if the act of kinyan is a prerequisite in reality,
we
don't care
about the, unless we don't care about the act of kinyan, we only care about the physical act of hagba.
And that's what Zach was saying, but that's in essence what he's saying. But why? The whole point is. Our Taina is by saying that Efshar la'achila b'lo hagba is that you don't have to make a. Your argument was that there is no way to eat it without first doing hagba, which means making a kinyan. It's the only way to do it, right? And I'm giving you an answer showing you a different way where you still make a kinyan, but you're not being magbiyat. So what?
So now that you make the kinyan, you're higher at that point.
This is exactly what we were talking about in the second part of the Gemara also. With the fact that if I could have been gorer it, but this that was my
concept
from.
Let's just wait. Wait on that. Wait on that.
It's all connected to this also. The way we answer that question is going to directly bear upon.
We can come back to that. When we get there, we'll come back to this. Okay. The other possibility. So this is going to give one answer. We're not done with this. I know we're not done with this. What's the second answer? What's the inami?
Inami hasam ibai la dura lo matza mahadala. Hacha matzi mahadala.
Okay, matzi mahadala. Okay, so what is this teretz?
That once you shout the
akhla,
the whole thing is specific to the arrow case.
Okay, well, it's specific to throwing cases.
Right, which brings the question why they choose something that's directly on the arrow case when you could just eliminate this nafkamina unit by going to any other hotel case. If this was talking about where you're just taking out from one room and putting in another one, then we could take out this nafkamina.
Well, it's not a nafkamina. It's an explanation of why the two are different, right? We have two facts. One is you shoot an arrow, you potter. The other is you chayev on the chaylev. So based this one distinguishing was that hagba is not essential, it's not part of the violation, it's not necessary in order to violate chaylev. The way I put it is that the kinyan, a kinyan, is necessary to violate the chela, whereas akira is a necessity in order to violate the malach of hotzah. The other answer is no, that even if something is and what does that mean? I'm just taking back for step for a second, the Rishonim say askol la malacha. If something is a part of the avera, then the time, the shah of the avera, to be compared to the shah of the nezek, or as chayvus of mamon, begins when you begin whatever that part of the malacha is. Whereas the second answer says, no, it's not enough. in order to be considered shas hamalacha for the purposes of kamei ramine, it's not enough that it's actually part of the malacha. No, it doesn't really matter whether it's technically part of the malacha. The question is, in order to say for the purposes of kamei b'ramine that they are simultaneous, it means that you couldn't stop the train. You set it going, and it's out of your hands at that point. At that point, once I can no longer stop the aveira from happening, then it's no longer in my... Then the malacha has begun, the aveira has begun. But as long as I can stop it from happening, iboy ladure, it hasn't started yet. Okay? And therefore, when I shoot the arrow, once I shoot the arrow... So the akira might take place technically when I pick up the arrow. I don't know when the akira is technically. I'm not sure. It could be that when you carry something out, the akira is when you pick it up. But if you shoot an arrow, you don't actually carry it out, the akira is when it leaves your bow. Whichever it is for the moment. The point is, whenever that akira started, the bottom line is that the shas hamalacha for kamei b'ramine purposes begins when I can't pull it back anymore. Whereas, by the person who is ochel chelev, when he picks it up, he can still stop. In fact, you'd even argue when he puts it in his mouth, he can even still stop. When he can't stop anymore is when he's already done the malacha. Right? So therefore, if the kinyan takes place before he can no longer stop, then it's a separate action from the actual avera. Whereas if the tearing takes place after the point I can no longer stop, which it did because I can't, you know, fast enough to grab the arrow, so it's not like, you know, Wile E. Coyote, we can run after it. So under such circumstances, it's considered simultaneous. The malacha began when I could no longer pull the arrow back, and therefore, this is the time of the malacha, the Kriya Shiran took place in the middle of Chai. And the nafka min of the Gemara is going to say is an obvious one. Well, before you get there, what do you want to say, Moshe?
Yes, so doesn't the Kis case kind of ruin this? Because the Kis case is also a Kira and Anacha, where you put them together, even though you could stop in between.
So the simplest reading of the Gemara, but maybe not always shown him agree to, is what Tosa says, is that the discussion of the Gemara Kis is only Akasha according to the first Lashon. According to the second Lashon, it's not a problem at all.
Okay.
Right? According to the second Lashon, you're right. Of course, you're chayiv when you do the Agba there, even though that might be part of the Malacha because you could have stopped. Whereas when you go rare, the akira doesn't take place literally until you pull it out into the Rosh Hashanah. Right? So knows according to the second Lashon, the simplest reading of the Gemara, not a problem. Correct. Okay. Now, what is the nafka mina the Gemara says? Ma'ika ben ha'ili shana la'ili shana. Okay. So, instead of shooting my arrow, I walk carrying my knife, okay. And in the course of carrying my knife, and being ma'avir talan of sprishes sarabim, I tear the shiran that way. So the Gemara explains, lahach lishana. You don't have to pronounce it that way. I'm sorry. That's just it's an unchanging comma. It's a Canaanite shift. So I was looking the other day. Actually, I don't know why I can't see what the vocalization was, but it's lishan. Lishan is the word, and that's like lashon in Hebrew, and that vowel never disappears. But anyway, now you can say lahai lishna, lahach lishna. Go ahead. Right. In other words, the bottom line is it's not that I couldn't stop, but the bottom line is that the malacha begins when I started carrying the knife. The malacha ends when I move Dalet Amos and I stop. And when did the Kriya Shiran take place? In between. Whereas, yes.
We had started off Shir with saying two different options of how can Lady Rabbeinu works with these issues of whether is it the idea because it's one action that started at the beginning, or whether this is one continuous, or we can define the whole thing as one continuous action.
Well, no. The question is, was it a Metzias issue or a Halachic issue? And we've dismissed the Metzias issue. We've said that it seems at this point we said that if in Metzias, if it may be necessary in Metzias but halachically unnecessary, then it doesn't matter. The malacha doesn't begin until the malacha really begins. The avera doesn't begin until the avera really begins. Even though the way you chose to do it, it may have looked like one action. Scoop up the chela, put it in your mouth. So now, So that we originally thought it might have been dependent upon Metzias' definition of what did you do, but now we realize that and minimally we're looking only at the only possible time frame is the frame in which the malacha takes place, meaning between Akira and Hanacha. Since Akira is necessary to violate Hanacha, you look at the earliest time you're going to consider as to be part of the malacha is going to be the Akira.
That's what we said earlier. I'm sure you're not saying Metzias versus Hanacha?
Yeah, that's the way I think I started out defining it.
I wonder if that sort of like splits with these two answers, basically.
Well, that's really the first answer. The second answer says it's not enough. It's a different kind of mitzvah, actually. Right now, as we started out by thinking that if a mitzvah, the way I did it, looked like one action, maybe I should have been potter. That was the havamin of the kashin. If you're correct by zorei chetz, then what about that might be a chelav shel chavero and a chala, right? Then we say initially. Then the first lashon, the first teretz of the Gemara is no. I don't care about the mitzvahs of how you actually did the avera. I want to know only when the shas avera began, and anything that's required in order to violate the avera marks the beginning of the avera until the avera is completed. And the third teretz says no. That of course it has to be part of the avera, necessary for the avera, but that's not enough to consider it part of the. That's not considered enough to consider it the Shas Avera. The Shas Avera is only from the point when it was no longer in your hands. If you could have withdrawn till the very last moment, then the Shas Avera is only the very last moment. If the Malacha has begun and you can but you can no longer control it. It's already out of your hands. Then the malacha. Then that's part of the shas avera. But if the malacha has begun, but you could still intercept it, so then that's not called shas avera. Even though technically speaking, the definition of malacha was A and B. In other words, the prerequisite or the chelik of the malacha that is necessary for the malacha to be, but could be stopped, does not constitute the shas avera for purposes of kam lebi the rabba mineh.
Like working on something, but I think I'm using like different terms than you are, so like I'm having trouble translating it.
All right, so listen, we're going to stop now anyway, and you have a chance tomorrow morning to work on that. But I think that's where the Gemara has, that's the way I would formulate. It starts with looking at the action, just the mitzvahs. Then it says, of course, halachically speaking, you have to narrow it down. And then the Gemara sort of takes a combination, almost not quite a both, but halachically speaking, of course. And then you have to. It also has to be a situation where you don't any longer control it. So the nafka mina is if I'm walking through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with the knife. So if it's a question of stopping, I could have stopped at any time up until I don't. If I throw it at that point, it's out of my control. That's when the malacha begins, and therefore. You say kam le rabbim. The shas avera is when the arrow leaves my hands. But if I haven't reached Dalet Amos yet. Right, and I tear the shirayim. If I stop after tearing the shirayim, I don't violate any melacha because I haven't gone Dalet Amos. So I could have stopped, but I choose not to. So the fact that I continue on and finish walking the Dalet Amos does not the shas hachiyuv for the purposes of kamei d'rabbamine according to the second lashon would be only when I actually finish the Dalet Amos and stop. Once I'm in other words, I would say the following. I would say the following. If I am walking in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And I walk more than Dalet Amos, but I haven't stopped. And then I tear the shirayim, and then I stop. So mistama, you would say that kam leib d'rabba minei, even according to the second lashon. Right now, I don't know if that's really true because I could have turned around, made a U-turn, and come back into my original Dalet Amos. Right? I assume that if I walk outside my Dalet Amos and come back in, right, that I'm potter. So in this case, in theory. It could be that even if I'm outside the Dalet Amos with the Shirayim and I tear them and then I walk back in, I'd be potter. So I don't know we have to think about how to parse that particular case. When you look tomorrow, when you have a chance, I think the Gemara is the last Amud in Perek HaZorik, the 11th Perek of Shabbos. I think it's like Daf Kuf Beis or Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Look in the beginning of that sugya there. Rava has a Havamina and a Maskana that mirror exactly these two Terutzim. It has to do with throwing an object. And we'll take a look at. I want you to look at that also. We'll talk about that hopefully tomorrow. Hold on. I'll tell you exactly where it is. 1 second. It's on. It's last Amud Aleph and last Amud and Hazorek. It is Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah, and then the opening part of the Gemara, and Rava's Havamina, and then Rava's Teretz that he was forced to give.